Colombia is a country of music and musicians. It is the home of the cumbia, a dancing music genre that spread throughout Latin America in the 1940s. But the list of local musical rhythms is long. The most popular outside Colombia besides cumbia is the vallenato. A blend of the country's cultures is seen in the nature of its instruments. The caja, a drum of African slave communities, the guacharaca, a wooden percussion of the Tayrona indigenous people, and lastly, the accordion that came from Europe.
I'd say the accordion plays an important role, just like the singer, because the accordion sets the melody. The melody is the orchestra's director. Everyone follows it.
Vallenato musicians have traditionally been men, until now. Today on the America's Now podcast, we talk about female performers in one of Colombia's most popular genres. Hi, everyone. I'm Elaine Reyes in Washington, D.C., and this is the America's Now podcast. Today, we're talking with our correspondent in Colombia, Michelle Begue, and she is currently just outside the country's capital, Bogota. Michelle, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you, Elaine, for having me.
So excited to talk about the vallenato. Tell us more about it, and where was it born, and how does it have so many influences?
So this vallenato was born in this region called Valledupar, which is where we told our story. Valledupar is you could think of it as the cowboy region of one of the cowboy regions of Colombia, and it was born in this valley, you could say, from men who traveled and told their stories about their travels, their tribulations, the relationships they left behind. And then it's got this fusion of a lot of the cultures that you see in Colombia, which you talked about, the wooden percussion, which is of the indigenous people, which is the guacharaca. And then you have the accordion that came from Europe that makes it very particular, combined with like the African rhythms. And so it's very rhythmical, very poetic, and it's something that most Colombians enjoy.
And the person who made the vallenato popular outside of Colombia was music superstar Carlos Vives. But what was his contribution?
Well, Carlos Vives made it more popular for the different types of people living in Colombia, because for a very long time, vallenato was also seen as like the people's music, maybe the campesinos, the people who live in rural areas. And so the people who live in the city are more sophisticated, you know? And then you had Carlos Vives, who was this star that was rising. He took these popular songs that had been sung for years, and then he made them even more popular for the different types of people living in the city, more sophisticated, or you could say educated. And so so it was the music that was playing at the restaurants, at the clubs, and obviously then internationally, right? So Carlos Vives became a more of a popular person, but thanks to vallenato in a way. And then he's fused it with rock, and he's added, you know, different styles, and it's not as rural, you could say.
Well, now we have women involved. What are they doing? Are they playing the instruments? Are they singing?
Something I had never really even noticed about it is that I've seen women who play the accordion before, but I never really thought about the stamina that you have to play the accordion and the and in the rhythmic way that they do and the fast pace. And so Jennifer, who is one of the women who we interviewed, you know, talked a little bit about, and I guess we'll get into that, about how women, even in these new competitions where they're getting the opportunity to play against men, or play in their own category, she says, you know, it's sometimes hard to have that stamina that men just physically can have sometimes, more than women. So they have this kind of, they last longer on a face-off, you know, with the accordion. And then a lot of these women also sing. And we go into the topic a little bit about the machismo in these songs.
Well, let's talk about Jennifer. Let's stay on her, because you put the spotlight on her being an accordion player, who, by the way, she is very gifted. Let's take a listen to her music and hear what she has to say.
Las categorías eran unificadas, eran mujeres y hombres en los concursos.
In the past, the categories were mixed. Men and women were competing. With the accordion, you have to keep up a strong pulse, and it would help if you had strength. And women are seen as not having as much strength as men. But when you show that you have the same strength as the male gender, you can change your context, concepts, and stereotypes.
Obviamente ahí es donde de alguna forma cambiamos ese contexto, ese concepto y esos estereotipos como tal.
Michelle, is vallenato chauvinistic, as she says, and how can women performers change that?
It's hard, because if you stick a little bit to the traditional songs, it's kind of funny, because I remember growing up, I have a Colombian mother, and so I remember singing these chauvinistic songs with this like passion about the woman who didn't come, who's complaining that her husband didn't come home the night before, and that don't complain, you know? And I loved it. I thought it was hilarious, but obviously, I mean, it's what I grew up with kind of. And then obviously, you know, you start to see the world differently and finally don't find it that funny. And then you realize, oh, wow. Yeah. Like these songs, like, what are we singing about? What are we perpetuating in the culture? You know? And it's like, I loved vallenato, and I was singing, and it was interesting. Carlos Vives was one of the ones who actually first pointed it out and said, there are some songs that I originally sang in my first, CDs albums. And because I think they were albums then, in these albums that I will not sing anymore because of their chauvinistic message. And then I was like, oh, I think it's one of the ones that I used to love to, like, you know, show off that I knew and that I sang, because they were so popular. And so for women, I think, obviously, finding a repertoire, if you're going to pick songs that are classics, of, okay, how am I going to sing this? Maybe I won't sing those songs. Let me look for songs that are less chauvinistic, obviously. And that was something that some of the women talked to us about. But I think they're going to have to carve their way to writing, you know, their own songs. And we'll probably see that in the future.
Well, you also have two little girls. So are you introducing this to them, and are you choosing the songs? Are you going to let them dance to what you did when you were a little girl?
This is a very good point. And I think that, Elaine, we also, I mean, we see it with other genres, right? Reggaeton and stuff like that. There's a conversation sometimes had, especially in the Latin community, of what are we talking about? Are we degrading women in these songs? And so to answer your question as well, yes, we have put some of the classics of vallenato to my girls, and we've definitely tried to pick songs after, like, consciously, and be like, okay, no, these songs, no, because, you know, they're a little ridiculous and obviously chauvinistic. And then there are other beautiful songs that just talk about, like, you know, a man's perspective, obviously, but of, you know, growing old, or of, you know, like a love letter to his wife and stuff like that. And that, yes, definitely. But, but it is something, it's very poetic, and it's hard. It's a line where you shouldn't deny, like, you should look at your history and stuff, and these songs do carry a little bit of history. But then you want to have a different way of teaching your kids different values and such. So,
well, there are, you know, the landscape for women has changed. Colombia has many strong female figures. Shakira. Let's talk about her, and she's known worldwide. We also have a female vice president, a new vice president in Colombia. Have you seen this shift when it comes to leadership and inclusion with women in your country?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think it started with the first female vice president who was elected 4 years ago. And now we have the first, as you mentioned, African Colombian woman in office. And so you do start to see men kind of checking themselves, and a debate going on in the culture, because our new vice president is of African descent, is a woman, and comments that, you know, shouldn't be made are made in the social media world, and people are calling them out and making people realize, you know, we need to start expanding our view of the world and how it should be. And so there are more women obviously in leadership, but we have a minister of the environment of mining who's been put in place. There's a lot of women in this new government in Colombia. So it's interesting. They're paving their way.
Taking a bit of a shift here, Michelle, you've been covering the war on drugs and the peace agreement after decades of internal conflict. Colombia has suffered a lot, but it is also a very happy country. The joy in the streets is something any person visiting can feel. Is music a consequence of this, or is music part of the reason Colombians are so typically happy?
Oh, good question, Elaine.
I see you pausing there. You're thinking really hard.
I want to rise to the occasion with a good answer. Repeat the question again.
I imagine, you know, Colombia has just gone through so much over the decades, but it's always had music. So do you think that's really helped people sort of cope with the harder parts of life?
Definitely. I think that you see it reflected in people like Juanes. La cama rectangular y las prohibidas pasiones. To put someone who's internationally known, this artist who's reflected the pain and sorrow of Colombia, but at the same time, like, their, you know, perseverance, and their fight for happiness and in what they have. And that is something that I think is reflected in our music and our in our way of, you know, celebrating life. Colombia has something beautiful, I think, and it's, we have a bunch of holidays. We have the most kind of in the region. Mondays are off all the time. It's like it's 4 day weeks. And so there is a kind of a culture of really enjoying life, getting together, listening to music, having these like social, being connected, community and such. And so, unfortunately, I think I've met a lot of people, and even Colombians, who question, how can we be people who are so loving and maybe even passionate, and then have, you know, so much violence? I don't know if the passion like borders over to a way that, you know, they can't control their emotions or what it is, but that there is something there that, you know, hopefully that is what'll get us through more of a peaceful society, right? That like loving aspect of this culture and joy for life.
Well, and is dancing a part of that? Because we've been talking about music, but part of that is also the movement, as you mentioned, with the vallenato. Is vallenato also a dancing genre?
Vallenato is very much a dancing genre. And there's a lot of, yes, there is a lot of culture of, well, we've got salsa as well. We've had many, many artists that have been born in different genres in Colombia. And there is a lot of dancing, of celebration of music. A lot of different cultures. And I think that that's like the beautiful thing about our music is that it blends a lot of different cultures that a lot of times have been neglected in other things, right? The African descent, unfortunately, is not validated in other things. They're ignored. They're usually don't have the same opportunities as people of European descent. A lot of the culture sees the European descent as something to aspire to, unfortunately. But then you have, you know, the African culture that is permeating our music and that we're extremely proud of, and that, you know, and the dancing and everything. So it's incredible how sometimes you see those contrasts, right?
Our next episode, Michelle, we just should sit here and talk. Let's pick another genre of music too. This is so fascinating and I love talking about it with you. So thank you so much for being with us here today on the America's Now podcast.
Thank you, Elaine.
The executive producer of the America's Now podcast is Jose Velasquez. Our audio editor is AJ Moore. Joe Zarenko is our copy editor. Umberto Duran is the head of the features unit. And I am your host, Elaine Reyes. Till next time.